We're going to go in our Bibles today, and we are going to return to Isaiah. We've been kind of working our way through Isaiah, and I want to go to the 22nd chapter of Isaiah. And before you stand, I don't want you to have to stand through this whole thing. So I want to read one verse, and I want to tell you a little, not story, but I want to read one verse, and I want to talk. You'll see where I'm going, and then we're going to read our text. So this verse is part of the text, but this verse is not the text. It's just part of the text. And so Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 23, if you've got a Bible with you and want to open that, just stay sitting for the moment. It says, "And I will fasten him like a peg," or you can equally put the word nail there. The Hebrew word can mean tent, peg, or it can mean nail. Either one. So some translations say peg, some say nail. This translation we're reading from says peg. I actually prefer nail based on the context, but we'll get into that. "I will fasten him like a peg or nail in a secure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house." I'm going to kind of be centering on this verse today, but I want to tell you, years ago, I've heard this passage preached on before. And has anybody heard this preached on before? The nail in the secure place. Have you heard that preached on? Okay, I see a few nods. The way that I heard it preached was that basically, in fact, I remember the preacher preached it, quoted this verse, read this verse as a text, and then he told a story about this little village that was up by the Arctic, and there was a river right beside it, and on the other side of that river was just Arctic wilderness, and that every year the river would freeze solid, and they would polar bears would be able to cross that river because it was frozen solid, and would be able to roam the streets of this little village and this little town. And it, you know, became scary to, you know, go grab some groceries or whatever. And so basically what people would do is they would take nails and drive them through pieces of plywood and put them in front of the door of their house or any windows of their homes. That way, if the bear tried to come up to their door, the bear would step on the nails, okay? And it was a nail in a secure place. That's what this text said. And basically, I remember the name of the message was "A Welcome Mat for the Devil." And it said, the essence of the message was, is that when you come to church and your pastor preaches, he's giving you the nails, then you need to take the nails and drive them through the wood. And so that might very well be the way you've got that taught. I'm going to cover this passage today, and I'm going to go a completely different direction. And if that's the way you've been taught that passage, and you want to believe that, that's fine with me. And we can love God and just love each other. But I'm going to take this passage, and I would really like to just get to the bottom of what does this passage mean? A nail in a secure place. What is, biblically, what is this nail in a secure place? And so if you would all stand, we're going to start reading in Isaiah chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 20 through 25. And we don't do this real often, but let's do this time. Brother Bill, if you can go ahead and put the text up on the screen, let's all read this together today. You can just look up on the screen, and let's all read this together. "In that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe and will bind your sash on him and will commit your authority to his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him like a peg or a nail in a secure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house. And they will hang on him the whole honor of his father's house, the offspring and issue, every small vessel from the cups to all the flagons. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg that was fastened in a secure place will give way. It will be cut down and fall, and the load that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. So if I could just try to preach for a little while today, I want to talk about the true nail, or the nail in a secure place, the true nail in a secure place. Let's go to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we are so thankful, Lord. We're so thankful to you. We want to bless your name. This is your word. And Lord, we approach your word today with reverence and godly fear and godly respect. And we ask, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear your word, Lord, and to understand what your word and what it says and what it means. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. When you're reading this passage, you want to know a little bit about kind of what was going on. This was in Judah. And if you remember earlier when we were reading on Isaiah, the king was Ahaz. Well, Ahaz is now no longer on the scene. And the king that is reigning is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a good king. As Hezekiah went in and tore down the high places and basically got people back to worshiping the God of Israel, and he did a lot of good things. And every king had a palace, and David had a big palace, right? And the king had a big palace, and remember, Solomon built himself a palace. And that palace had to have somebody to run things, okay? They had to have a governor of the palace that would go and contain all operations of that palace. And for example, a very close match to it would be, you know, how a president of the United States has a cabinet, right? And in there you've got the Secretary of Defense. You got the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. You know, you got the Secretary of State. You've got, each one of those has a function, but there's one function that you don't hear talked about very much, but it's a member of the cabinet. It's called the Chief of Staff. And the Chief of Staff is the guy that basically runs the White House. If you want to get in and get a meeting with the president, if you're, Eunice, if you're the Secretary of Defense, and you want to have a meeting with the president about some defense-related issue, you don't call the president on the phone and say, hey, what's your schedule like tomorrow at 2 o'clock? No, you're going to have to go through the Chief of Staff. If you want any access to the president, it's going to have to go through that Chief of Staff. And that's the way it was in the days here in the days of King Hezekiah. And there was another guy. If you look further up in this text, there was another guy that had that position, and he wasn't doing evidently a very good job. And so the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said, "Listen, I'm going to call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah." And then it says, even in verse 21, "I'm going to clothe him with your robe." He's talking to the guy, I believe his name was Shebna. He was talking to, the man's name was Shebna. And he was saying, right now this job is yours, Shebna, but you're going to get fired. And Eliakim's going to come here, and he's going to wear your robe. He's going to wear your robe, and he's going to have your position. He's going to have all your authority. Verse 21, "I will clothe him with your robe, and will bind him with your sash, Shebna." Eliakim is going to have your position, and I will commit your authority into his hand. The authority that you've got now, he's going to have. Eliakim's going to have. And he, Eliakim, shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And when I say father, you got to understand that in Old Testament language, the word father didn't always mean your dad or your father or your grandfather. A lot of times it could just mean somebody that was helping somebody else. Like, for example, I grabbed an example here. Job 29 in verse 16. In Job 29, Job said, listen, I was a father to the needy. That doesn't mean that all of Job's children were poor people. No, he was just saying, I helped, I cared for, I made sure that the poor got taken care of. I was a father to the needy. And that's what this passage means here, where it talks about Eliakim in verse 21. It says that he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And verse 22, I will place on his shoulder, and we're going to get into some words that you may not know what it's talking about here. He says, I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. Well, I will explain that. Back in those days, I don't think they had keys like this exactly. But this is the key to my front door. I've got a lock in the knob and a deadbolt, and this key does them both. And you ask me why? Because I don't like having a bunch of keys on my ring. So I want as many locks to have the same key as possible. So anyway, this verse, it says he's going to have the key to the house of David. Can I just give you my vernacular here? He's going to have the key to the palace of the king. In other words, if anybody wants in, he can open doors that nobody will have authority to shut. And he will close doors and nobody will have authority. It's like he's walking around with the key saying, listen, I can open this door and let this person in. I can close this door and say, Carl, sorry, man, today's not the day. You're not getting to see the king today. Sorry. But Sister Kristen, oh, I sure, come right on in. And Carl's saying, whoa. Yeah, boo, boo. Yeah. But that's what this passage is saying, is that Eliakim, who replaced Shebna, and believe me, this is all going to make sense and this is going to help you. He's going to have the key to the palace of the king. He's going to have the key to the house of David, the palace. And he's going to open doors and nobody has authority to shut them. He's going to shut doors and nobody's going to have authority to open them. Is this making sense so far? I mean, I don't have any cool stories about polar bears. I'm sorry, I tried to think of something, I just couldn't think of nothing. But you notice it says on his shoulder in that verse, meaning that there's some weight there. There's some weight. On his shoulder will be the key of the house of David. Look down in verse 23. He says, I am going to secure, I will fasten him like a peg or nail, if you want, in a secure place. And he will become a throne of honor to his father's house. This word peg, translated here, it's just yatid in Hebrew, and it can mean a tent peg or a nail. And in fact, I always like to be a little bit macabre and a little bit, you know, morbid. Can I do that today? You want to give a good, where this word is used? I'll show you where this word is used. You remember there was a evil man that was trying to war against Israel, and his name was Sisera in the book of Judges. And Sisera was trying to kill, he was a murderer. And if you'll remember, he ran into a woman's tent and said, hide me, hide me, hide me. And she said, sure. Are you thirsty? Yeah. Could you bring me some water? How about some warm milk? And what does warm milk do to you? Don't ever accept warm milk from a stranger. Okay. Her name was Jael. I think you all know where I'm going here. In Judges chapter 4, it says, but Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg. It's that same Greek word. That same Greek word, yatid. She took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and, I know this is morbid, drove the peg into his temple until it went down to the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness, so he died. So she took care of the problem in Israel with what was troubling Israel that day, and she did it with a yatid, a tent peg. And back to Isaiah 22 and 23, it says, I will fasten him like a peg or a nail in a secure place. And if it was a tent peg, what it would be is if you were in that day living in a tent in the ancient times, not everybody lived in houses. Some people had to live in tents. You know, one of your fears would be a strong, fierce storm with heavy, heavy winds that it could blow your tent away. And so this would be, if this would be a tent, a peg, it would be a like a tent peg in a secure place that's going to secure your tent to where it would not be, blown away by winds and storms and bad times. If you was to use this as a nail, and as we go on further down in our text here, I think the context is going to lend itself a little bit better to this being a nail than a peg. My opinion. Your mileage might vary. But a nail that would be driven into a secure place could hold the weight of some things. Okay? It could hold the weight of some things. You could go over here and there's a stud right there. Drive a nail right in there and you could hang some stuff on there. Now, there is no stud right here. And if we drove a nail through here, is that nail going to... Because it's not in a secure place. It's just going through sheetrock. And yes, I have learned that lesson the hard way. But that's what Eliakim was going to be. He said, Eliakim, you're going to be like a nail fastened in a secure place. You're going to, and then in verse 24, Eliakim, it says that they will hang on him. Imagine a nail sticking out. They will hang on him the whole honor of his father's house, the offspring in issue. Every small vessel from the cups to all the flagons. So now, are you getting this mental picture of a nail that's in the wall and it's holding up a shelf? And they're loading up that shelf with, according to this verse, they're loading up that shelf with vessels, with cups and with flagons, and they're loading that shelf up. And I don't know if you've ever, you guys probably go off and buy expensive stuff, but there's been a couple times in my life I've bought one of those cheap little shelving units that they look like wood, but really the wood is just tape. And it's just particle board pressed together. Horrible, sister. Yes, horrible. They're horrible. And you start loading books on them, and then you step back, and guess what? That shelf is going and starting to bend. I mean, is anybody, you know where I'm? Well, that's kind of what's happened here, is that Eliakim was going to be this nail in a secure place that could take all this weight. But they put all of the honor on him. They hung all of the honor of his father's house, the offspring, the issue, every small vessel, the cups. And finally, I don't care how good you are, if you're just a man, you're going to reach a breaking point to where it's going to be too much. It's going to be more than a man can handle, more than a man can take. And it says in the next verse, verse 25, in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg or nail that was fastened in a secure place will give way. And it will be cut down and fall, and the load that was on it will be cut off. In other words, that nail that was in that secure place just couldn't handle all the load that was placed on it. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail here, but I want to tell you something right now. You need to be careful. You need to be careful what you're leaning on. You need to be careful what you're depending on. And I'm just going to say it this way, and this isn't really even in my notes. The way that other guy preached the message, and I'm not trying to run him, he might be right. The way that other guy preached it might be right. You might just need to listen to him and forget about me. But the way he was saying it was, your pastor gives you these nails when he's preaching. Well, if you're a pastor, that makes you, on one hand, that makes you feel good because, hey, you need me. Yeah. Better treat me good. Yeah. Because I'm the one giving you the nails. But on the other hand, I've seen people that their foundation was their relationship with their pastor. And listen, you need to love and respect and esteem your pastor. Please do. Whether it be me or somebody else, please love, respect, and esteem your pastor. But listen, pastors are humans. And humans make mistakes. I've made mistakes since I've been here in Hillsboro. I can't be your nail in a secure place. I can help you. I can try to guide you. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can try to guide you along the way. But listen, don't you put me in that place, because I don't want to ever disappoint you. I was talking to somebody just this last week, somebody that has preached very, very well in this pulpit, and just talking about a situation that happened in his past life where he got spiritually abused. And I told him, I said, you know what? Your problem was right then and there, as I says, no more heroes in your life. No more heroes. No more heroes. When you take somebody and you exalt them way up here, so high, and in your mind, in your heart, they are way up here. They are heroes. They are superstars. And then they do something that hurts you. It destroys your foundation. Your foundation crumbles. So all I will say about this, Eliakim was the nail in the secure place. And Judah, the house of Judah, they leaned on him. They put all of the honor of his father's house on him. They put everything on him to where finally, just because he was a man, he just couldn't hold up under the strain, and it fell. It collapsed. And everything that was hanging on that nail was also destroyed. You know what? Be careful what you lean on. Be careful who you lean on. Amen. Make sure that your foundation is secure. Amen. You know what? I am your pastor, but I am not Jesus Christ. And I do not want to occupy I don't want to occupy that kind of a position. But I do want to give you some good news about this passage. I want to compare two verses. I don't know if Bill can get them on the screen at the same time. He probably. You could have, I would have told you in advance, but I didn't tell you in advance, so we're not going to worry about it. But go to Isaiah 22 and 22. I want to show you something here that's interesting. Are you guys following me here? Speaking of Eliakim, where it says his shoulder, that's talking about the shoulder of Eliakim. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. So that was what Eliakim had, right? He had the key to the king's palace. He could let in whoever he wanted to let in, or he could close the door and not let in whoever he wanted to let in. Let's compare that verse to Revelation chapter 3. If you remember in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, this is the letter to the seven churches. And he goes through, you know, starts off with Ephesus and then Smyrna. And I believe there was Sardis and Thyatira. And then one of the churches was the church of Philadelphia. And if you have your Bible with you, if you would turn, if you, you don't have to turn to your open, but if you were to turn to it, I would guesstimate that about 90% of your Bibles, these words, are they in black? They're in red. Because this is Jesus talking. Remember how Eliakim was that nail in the secure place, but they put too much weight on him, and he couldn't handle it. But Eliakim, we just read it. He had the key to the house of David. Remember, we just read that in verse 22? That Eliakim had the key to the house of David, and that he could open doors that no man could shut, and he could shut doors that no man could open. That's what Eliakim would do. Here's Jesus talking about himself. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this is Jesus talking, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David. Not the Eliakim that had the key to the house of David. Jesus is saying, I'm the true one that has the key to the house of David. Eliakim was only a type of me. In the same way that Jesus was a better Moses, that Jesus was a better Abraham, that Jesus was a better Jonah, and that Jesus was the better high priest, the book of Hebrews says, now we're finding out that Jesus was the better Eliakim. Because it said of Eliakim in verse 22 there, it says that he would have the key of the house of David and that he could open. And this, here it is, verse 22 in Isaiah. He would open and none would shut. He would shut and none would open. Now we go back to Revelation and Jesus is saying, no, I'm the one that opens and no man shuts. I'm the one that if I close a door, no man can open it. I am the one, the true one, that truly has the key to the house of David. If you want in the palace, if you want in the king's house, you are going to have to go through Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment. He's what Eliakim tried to do. He's what Eliakim tried to be, but could not be. Jesus said, I'm the one. I've got the key to the house of David. In fact, in John, he even says, listen, I am the door. So not only has he got the key, he tells them in the book of John, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm the way in. And you say, well, what's the significance of this? Number one, big significance, is I told you that when you read the Old Testament, you need to see Jesus Christ. I've told you that. And you notice how we're preaching our way through Isaiah, and we're running into Jesus Christ everywhere. And the other thing is that, remember, Eliakim was that nail in the secure place that you could hang stuff on, but he finally got too much and he collapsed, right? We're there. But Jesus Christ is the true nail in the secure place. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, what do you mean? I think Peter was talking about it. When Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. In other words, he's that nail in the secure place, and you can take all of your burdens. You can take your fears. You can take your anxiety. You can keep the stuff that makes you stay awake at night and roll and toss and turn on your pillow. Peter says, cast that stuff on him. Cast that stuff on him. You might have been able to have overloaded Eliakim, but no, this is the true one. This is the true one that has the key and that can open. You can trust in this nail. Cast all your anxieties upon him. The psalmist said in Isaiah 55 and 22, cast your burden on the Lord. Church, I'm telling you, he is that nail that's in a secure place that you're never, ever, ever going to have to worry about overloading him, because he's not Eliakim. He's the true one. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and you guys could quote this by heart. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Who's that speaking about? And the government shall what? Be upon his shoulders. Will it be too heavy? No. No, it won't. No, it won't. I don't know what that does for you, but that gives me some security in life. And one scripture I didn't get into my notes, so Bill, don't worry about going there, but in the 61st Psalm, the psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call unto you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." When I need that support, when I've got some burdens, I've got life that is about to make me lose my mind, you've got a nail in a secure place. You've got a nail in a secure place. Let's all stand today. This story isn't as good as polar bears. I really wish I could have gotten thought of something better, but I don't know why I got into this, but several years ago, I'm going to say this, and then you're going to look at, you know, my midsection here, and you're going to start laughing. But please laugh. I forgot my hearing aids today, so if you laugh quietly, I won't hear it. So just laugh quietly. I really got into mountain climbing, mountaineering for a while, several years ago. And again, you're going to look at this midsection and say, yeah, right. I was what you would call a sofa mountaineer, Robert. I read John Krakauer. First book I read on mountaineering was John Krakauer's book, Into Thin Air. And I read it twice. And both of my sons read it all the way through. And I mean, that put me on, I never climbed any mountains, but I read a bunch of books on them. And I can remember one story I was reading in particular to where the guy was climbing, and there was like 4,000 feet between where he was and the ground. And he fell. And as he was falling, he knew, listen, I'm roped in here. And I pounded a nail into the mountainside. And you know how your mind flashes really fast. And as he was falling, the thought that was going through his mind is, oh my word, I hope that nail holds. Because if that nail, there was only one nail separating him between, from 4,000 feet fall to his death. And all I can say, Jesus Christ is a nail in a secure place. That when you do have those accidents, those moments, you can fall on him and he's going to be able to hold you. You can doubt our economy. You can doubt our president. You can doubt our political system. You can doubt a lot of things. But you do not have to worry about that nail. It's in a secure place. And it's going to hold you up. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. Let's all take a few moments and gather around the front and just seek the Lord. God, in Jesus' name.
How he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with a heart. Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Sometimes I make points, but I think I'm making them plainly, and I'm not making them as plainly as I thought I made them. So let me say this. I showed you how in Revelation 3, Jesus Christ used the same language that was spoken of Eliakim in Isaiah 22. Every single Bible commentary out there says that Jesus Christ was making a direct allusion to Isaiah 22, which would therefore make him the man inscrutable. I got it. The other guy, Eliakim, was the last thing I will say is, you know, I told you about the guy falling, and on his way down, he said, man, the thought that was on his mind is, I sure hope that nail holds, because if it doesn't, I'm going to be falling 4,000 feet straight down. And the Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How can Jesus keep you from falling that 4,000 feet down to a spiritual death? Because he's a nail in a secure place. When you take a misstep, he's going to catch you. I wish I had words. I wish I was more eloquent. Because what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. Let's lift our hands one more time and worship the Lord. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I thank you. God, I thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.